Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Coming to you from the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, this is Chris Brown's True Stewardship, where we talk about the good, the bad, and the not-so-brilliant things that we do in life and with money. We are reclaiming stewardship. God has a lot to say about money and about living this life intentionally for His glory. Much more about that at stewardship.com. Be sure to check it out, America. Again, that's stewardship.com. Phone lines are open, 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. Hey, you call in and we'll talk. From Dallas, Texas, we have Amy on the line. Amy, how are you?
Great. Thank you, Chris.
Oh, so glad that you're joining us on the show. How can I help you?
Well, I'm looking for some guidance. My sweet husband has several different degrees, and along with that, unfortunately, we've got ourselves in $200,000 of student loan debt, and most of it is at 6.8% interest. And our goal is just to be debt-free as soon as possible. So I'm looking at a couple different options to get out of this hole, and I'm wondering maybe if we should think about selling our house, or doing a cash out refinance on our house.
Well, let me pull up a little bit and ask some questions about these degrees. What are these degrees in?
Bachelor's in communications, bachelor's in nursing, a doctor in chiropractic, and a family nurse practitioner.
Okay. And is he using all these?
Most of them. He's using the nurse practitioner mostly.
And is he planning on going back for any more degrees?
No.
Okay.
No more school, he said.
Okay,
sure.
Good. As you told me that, you know, I was thinking, well, he's racking up degrees. It's like a school version of a shopaholic. It's a degree-aholic.
I know. That's what it feels like.
Yeah. Is there a great income on the other side of it?
Well, I'm a teacher, so we have a combined of about $120,000 after taxes.
Okay. So. And does he feel very hopeful that his salary is going to increase dramatically over the next few years?
Yeah, maybe about $40,000 to $50,000, hopefully.
Okay. So is this providing a lot of pressure for you guys, or is this something that's just, it's kind of annoying, or is it providing,
It is. Uh-huh. It is. It's something that really weighs on us every day, you know, after being exposed to Financial Peace University and wanting just to get that burden of that huge student loan payment off of our shoulders so that we can, you know, move on with our lives. I think that's the biggest problem right now.
What does your spirit tell you to do?
Get out of debt.
Are you guys on the same page with that?
Yes, we are. We've prayed about it and, you know, talked over with family and everybody who we look up to. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, we're both on the same page.
Yeah. How much did you buy the home for?
We purchased our home for $185,000 5 years ago. And the current market value is at least $240,000.
Okay. How much do you owe on it again?
$108,000. So I've done the math and with a realtor, and basically if we sold our house after fees and everything, closing costs, we could get $113,000.
Wow.
For that home.
Yeah.
But then we've got to go find somewhere else to live.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, you don't have to buy another home. You can rent. Renting is not against your religion.
Renting. Right, exactly.
There's nothing evil with renting. Actually, if you look at an amortization schedule in those first, you know, 5, 7, even 10 years, you're paying a lot of rent. It's called interest. You're not paying down your principal very much at all. So there's nothing against renting if you know it's for a short term. And with you guys, with your shovel getting bigger, your income shovel, you should be able to save up and, you know, buy a home in the future with no debt. Or at least put, how cool that'd be to put 80% down.
That would be so great.
Yeah, yeah. So the goal is to stay out of debt. But if you go to get another mortgage, which I've already turned the page, I'm not doing that again. But It'd be cool for you to put 80% down. But the real issue here is you need to get completely out of debt. Obviously, you've got that in your spirit. I love it. This decision, if you do it, the swing is huge. I mean, it's a big deal. So I would do it for sure.
Okay.
Definitely. And it gets you out of those 10% payments and interest rates. I mean, so you're paying 6.8 on your school loans and probably another 3 or 4 on your house. You're getting out of 10% penalties every month. So yes, yes, and more yes. I applaud the tenacity. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 5 that you know about because of FPU. It says, free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the snare of the fowler. And that's what you're about to do. And I applaud it. Way to go, Amy.
Awesome. Thank you, Chris.
All right. Hopefully that gives you a little bit of motivation to do it.
We're very motivated. I appreciate you taking my call.
Good. You said that you were using an ELP already for some of your other things.
Yes.
Make sure you check out the ELPs too on stewardship.com for the real estate. They can get you a great real estate agent or broker that you can trust. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Amy. Got an email here from Jackie. We are on baby step 2. Before we knew better, we gave collectors electronic access to our checking accounts. We have never had a problem. However, we are at the point where we are calling them and paying off the debts. Is there anything we can do, short of changing banks, to ensure that they don't take additional money out after we pay them off? Your quick answer is no, you don't have to change banks. They cannot get into your bank without a judgment or without suing you or some kind of court order. The only exception here is if the bank that you owe money to is actually the bank where you have your money. That's where I would be a little bit careful. And if that still doesn't make you feel good, then maybe just open up another account at that bank, close the former account, and now you have a new account number with the same bank, but you didn't have to change where you drive to and where you go to the ATM and where you do your banking. Next, we have Chris calling in from Austin, Texas. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I am doing very well. You got a great name, my friend.
I know.
Great name.
Yeah, it's like iron sharpens iron. Chris is the only one that can sharpen Chris, right?
That's right. Preach it, brother. How can I help you?
My daughter's boyfriend and soon-to-be fiance has about $30,000 in debt.
Okay.
And some of that and bad credit as well. You know, most of that's all gone to collections. One of the things he has a car. It's got $20,000 on, it's 18% interest, the fair market value on it's like 12, and his payments are $434. And he also has a U.S. Department of Education loan, about $2,700 with the original, but they're wanting $3,600 now with fees and interest, and he hasn't made a payment in that over a year. And repossessed car, and a lot of the stuff is from 13, 5,000 and differing hospital bills. Broken lease for about $3,200, all in collections. All that's in collections. And he's got about $1,000 in savings and about $1,100 in checking. The question is he wants to go ahead and apply for the, he was going to go into service. Now, since he met my daughter and everything, they were going to settle down and he wants to go into to be a police officer, but they do credit checks and his credit's really bad, like 501, I think. And so he was wondering what to do first to pay off to help make the credit score look higher, but for the job, but also to just clean all the stuff up.
Mm. Hey, Dad, do you have any red flags?
You know, and knowing him, I don't have any red flags with him. He has parents that didn't teach him anything about money.
Do you think this is a money issue or do you think it's a discipline issue?
It's all within those couple of months that all this stuff just kind of just fell apart. And you know, I mean, he did have bad choices getting into it, you know, with getting the car over too much and stuff. But
these loans, are they improving? Is he paying them down or they've been the same balance ever since 13?
He paid on them some and then he quit paying. He hasn't paid on any of them for about a year or so.
What's his current income?
Well, right now, that's what he's working with the state guard and then odd jobs. He's probably looking at 24 a year.
Okay.
And that's why he wants to get with the police department because that's going to be they start out like 40 or more at that point.
Does he show any discipline in any other areas of his life? Is he healthy? Is he in shape? Does he show up on time? Is this a discipline issue or is this just like he is the, he just made all those decisions because that was what was modeled for him by his parents?
I think it was modeled a little bit, and he just didn't, because, he's, like I said, he's in the state guard and stuff, so he's pretty disciplined in that.
Yeah. So are you asking how you can help him?
Yeah. Yeah. We were going to try to help him just to steer him which way to pay, what to pay off first, mainly for the police department thing, and then just wipe all this stuff out. Because, you know, like I said, none of this is credit card. He doesn't even have a credit card.
So for me, I would try to inspire them to, hey, let's get this all cleaned up and let's start your marriage God's way. Let's start it on the right foot. Just, you know, if we just wait, you know, 3 to 6 months and like get after this and you get some extra income, and no matter what you're doing, nothing's beneath you. I'd get, you know, tell him there's nothing beneath him and he can get after it and work hard. And maybe you can even give him a couple opportunities around the house to make even some more money.
Been doing that, yeah. And the fact that my daughter, when she found this out, she blew a gasket because we raised her with the Dave Ramsey and we're out of debt. We've been out of debt for years. She told him, she goes, let's see, if we want to get married in 4 months and you've got 4 months to get rid of it.
Yeah, it just goes back to the debt snowball, my friend. Just the smallest to biggest and pay off the smallest one first and work your way up. I don't think you can get out of the car situation. He can't. It's $20,000 that he owes and it's only worth $12. He's kind of stuck with it. So that $434 a month's going to kill him. But I think just smallest to biggest and start plucking away. I would address it in three different scenarios. Number one, I would de-teach everything he's been taught, and I would implement a stewardship mindset. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything he has is God's. And to sit down with him and explain that to him and show him the scriptures, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, that he's a manager, and those who have been entrusted to be managers must prove faithful. That'd be number one, stewardship mindset. Number two is I would help him with a plan. I would help him have a plan to go forward. Luke 14:28 says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you even have enough money to complete it? You want to make sure he has a plan. Do you have enough money to complete this week? Do you have enough money to complete this month? Do you have enough money to go through this wedding, to go through the first 6 months of marriage? And so write down the plan. And I have a plan, and then write it down also. Habakkuk 2:2 talks about having it written down on a tablet. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets. And then the third thing I would say is just talk to him more and more and more about working hard. Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit, and surely as haste leads to poverty. So stewardship mindset, have a plan, and then work hard. If you can help him with all that, that'll really help. And then a really, really practical way is to point him towards what worked for you and your family, which is Financial Peace University. I would actually go through the class with him together just to support him, to show that you're not just throwing stones, but you're in this together. So I would do it together with your family, and they do it together, almost like a premarital counseling, and then you kind of all do it together and use this as a time of unity and kind of leverage it. That's what I would do.
All right. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Got an email here from David. Says, my wife and I have a lot of consumer debt, mainly from credit cards. We are tired of this and have started on the baby steps, especially paying off our smallest debts first. My main question is, what does the Bible have to say about tithing and debt? Should we still tithe if we are trying to pay off debt? Or should we take that 10% and apply it towards our debt? What if it takes a couple of years? Well, David, he emails in from Fort Worth, Texas. My quick answer to you is continue to tithe. What does the Bible say? Well, it says lots of positive things about tithing, lots of negative things about debt, but nothing about tithing during debt. And I think there's a reason for that, because it's crazy. Because the Bible is completely filled with this, with all these verses about trusting God. Whether we're in debt or whether we're not in debt, it's all about trust. Do we trust God with 90%, or do we trust ourselves with 100%? Who do we trust more? Oftentimes we trust people with our eternity, but we don't trust people with our finances. Crazy, right? So David, tithe. If you want to pay off your debt quicker, give God 10%. It sounds crazy, but I'm telling you, that's what the Bible teaches, and that's what I've experienced in my personal life. This question, tithing while you're in debt, it's deeper. It's a trust thing. Do you trust God or do you not? Well, folks, finding an investing advisor with the heart of a teacher should not be difficult. That's why Dave Ramsey started his Endorse Local Provider program. He's been connecting listeners to these trustworthy investing professionals for 15 years. I found my investing advisor through the ELP program and am proud to offer our listeners access to these outstanding pros. If you need someone you can count on to help with your investing needs, check out our ELPs at stewardship.com. Let us connect you with a professional that you can trust. That's stewardship.com and click ELP.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. Here's Chris.
All right, you're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Up next is Ruth. She's calling in from Raleigh, North Carolina. Ruth, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing well.
Good, good. How can we help you today?
So I'm starting a new job in July, and it's my first full-time job after college.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm excited about it.
What are you doing?
I'll be a psychology researcher at Emory University.
Okay, very good, very good. And so what's the question that's arisen because of the new job?
Well, one of the benefits they're offering is a 403B.
Okay.
Get some advice about getting a traditional versus a Roth 403B. I have an IRA that I have managed by an ELP right now, but that's a Roth IRA also.
Okay.
And I didn't know what kind of, what situation might be better. Do you think it's best to stick with Roth on both sides of it, or to have a traditional 403B and have a Roth IRA?
No, it'd be a Roth for both. It's the same.
It'd be Roth for both.
Yeah, there's the same advantages for both. One of them is you're doing it after tax, so you're going to pay your taxes now, and they're going to be after tax contributions now. And so later on, you won't have to pay taxes on it. You already did.
Right.
And so that's the whole beauty of a Roth. And you want to, anytime there's a Roth option available, you want to make sure you jump all over that. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so just stick with the Roth. I want to applaud you, though, for being so young and thinking about your future. It's very, very good.
Thank you.
Yeah. So Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, people perish. And the fact that you've got a vision and you've got long-term goals and you're thinking about the future is good news.
And I'm debt-free right now, too, so I'm trying to do my best and get a real good start.
Yeah, well, you'll be very, very thankful later. You know, if you invest at how old are you?
I'm 23.
Yeah, 23 years old. It takes actually very little each month to, compound interest is going to work for you for 40 years, and you're going to be very, very happy one day. Because you're so young, you're going to have very little sacrifice each month, and it's going to build and build and build and build, and one day you're going to have a very, very comfortable retirement, not just for your enjoyment. That's fine too, but you're going to be able to give like crazy for a long time and be able to bless a lot of people. So, congratulations, and you're doing a great job, Ruth.
All right. Thanks for the help.
All right. Bye-bye. Now we have a call from John. John, how are you?
Good, Chris. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, I'm honored. How can I serve you today?
Me and my wife are on baby step two. We saved $1,000. We're working to pay off our debt. The only debt we have left is $16,500 on our car. But unfortunately, my wife it just got laid off. And we're expecting a child in September, so I'm kind of curious what to do next.
What's your income?
My income is $50,000.
And is she planning on trying to find another place of employment, or is she planning on staying home?
She's planning on finding another place of work. Good thing is she's a nurse, so.
It should be pretty easy to get another one, right?
Right.
Okay.
And the only thing is, she's pregnant, so.
Yeah.
I don't think too many people are going to hire her for too long. So we're working towards that.
So you have $15,500 in debt. What about how much do you owe on your mortgage?
On our mortgage, we owe about $220,000.
Okay. And what's the payment on that?
So our payment was $1,800, but then, when it rains, it pours. We just found out that our escrow account is low, so they increased our payment to $2,500. A month.
And that's ongoing? That's going to be from now on?
Until we catch up.
Oh, until you catch up. Okay. Zero money in savings? Is that what I'm hearing?
I have $1,000 in savings, and we also got a check of $3,000 from her work.
Okay.
And then also I have a part-time real estate business that I should be getting a check of $5,000 in August.
Well, good. Good. So you sold the house?
Yes.
Well, good job. Congratulations. Okay, so you are in baby step two, paying off debt, and you're trying to get after it, wondering what to do. Let me just, I'm really concerned about your monthly budget first on the expense side. Have you looked into refi? Or what interest rate are you paying now?
4.0.
Okay. How long are you planning on being in that home?
For as long as I can. I want to get that paid off.
I don't know. If you're planning on staying there for a while, I don't know if there's, you know, if you can get that payment down with a refi, you want to look into that. But I don't know if there's a way around this outside of increasing your working and getting after it. And now you're doing that. You got a part-time real estate. You got to ask yourself, how much money am I really making with this extra time?
Right.
Now, if that was the first check you're receiving in August, then you haven't received one in 18 months. You need to rethink that. If you're getting one of those every 2 or 3 months, then that's awesome.
Okay.
But I would lower your cost of living down. Your payment, your house payment is so high that you are going to have to probably cut quite a bit. So, because your take home is only about $4,000, probably about $3,800 a month.
Uh-huh.
So, 25 of that's going to your house.
Right.
If you're in a market where you can sell your house and get some money out of it, like where you're not going to be upside down and have to bring $50,000 to closing, you have too much house.
Okay.
That would be your biggest move. But, you know, you have to see whether you can sell it or not. If you did 100% financing, you're probably going to not, you're going to be in a tough spot. But you have way too much house.
Okay.
So I would do that. Otherwise, you know, on the expense side, if you don't handle the house part, you're going to have to just, you know, work a lot more. So increase your work and, which, you know, it might be the best way that you can support your family so that in September you've got your debt paid off. And so all these payments are gone. And the only payment you have is that house payment and some utilities. And you're in a good spot because you crushed it between now and September and you paid off that 15.5 because you worked your tail off. That might be the, even though it's short term, it feels like you're being a bad husband, it might be the best thing you can do. But just make sure that you talk it over with your wife and that you guys have a game plan. And first of all, make sure you're on a budget. And a budget means, for all of our listeners, that you've got a written down plan before the month begins and you know exactly where every dollar is going to go before you spend it, not after, but before.
Okay.
All right, John?
Great. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for the call. Got an email here from Scott. It says, I'm 32 years old and have a weight on my heart in regards to finding a career. I'm looking for advice on how someone finds out what career path to take. I want to use my God-given gifts, just unsure what those are and how to reveal them. I would love your take on this in order for me to get started in my career. Good question. You know, a lot of times we're looking for God's concealed will. We're looking for what we don't know. And in that land of what we don't know, we need to put into practice what we do know. So a lot of times we're looking into, oh, what is God's concealed will? But we haven't fully walked in his revealed will. And so I would just focus on what you do understand until you know what you currently don't understand. A good book for you to look into is Start that we have on DaveRamsey.com. Check that out. Again, it's the book Start, and it's at DaveRamsey.com. And then I also would assess your skills. What fuels you? So your skills, what fuels you, what fulfills you, what excites you, or what angers you? What disappoints you? What stirs your soul? That's a big part of the reason why I'm behind the microphone today. Is because this whole idea of stewardship is holding back the church in America. And because that stirs my soul, well, that's what fuels me. I want to be part of the solution. I want to help. And I've been there before. And I know how much I was held back. And I want to help. I know there's lots of great people on the other side of this microphone that want to do huge things for God. And they can't. And I want to help. Try to find that. What is that in your life, Scott? Well, that wraps up this edition of Chris Brown's True Stewardship, brought to you by Ramsey Solutions. Now, this is normally the point in radio shows where the show host asks you, the show listener, for your financial support. But we're not going to do that. We're here as a free service. But in order to be able to keep providing this free service, we need you to help by talking to your friends and family, asking them to listen to the show. Number two, check out stewardship.com. And number three, would you also consider leaving us a review or rating on iTunes? Thank you so much for helping us spread the word. It's been an honor to serve you today. As always, let's stay connected at Chris Brown On Air on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Today, we have been reminded that God has a lot to say about money. So, until next time, Let's continue to manage God's blessings God's way and for God's glory. God bless you.